Sunday, December 20th, the fourth Sunday in Advent. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm old enough to remember when my parents would get a wish book for us to look through at Christmas. Ours came from Sears, and the day it came in the mail was an exciting day in our household. We'd run out, grab it, big, huge catalog that looked like it was a phone book. And we skipped the boring sections that included things like clothing and housewares and other anything else and head straight for the toy section. Every page would be looked at, discussed with my siblings, and every wish would be circled and a name scrawled beside it. I was the oldest child, and I can remember circling and writing my younger siblings' names in the book and then dutifully handing it over to my mother. In our Old Testament reading today, David is king and living in peace. In the last few chapters, he's become king, he's conquered Jerusalem, and had just moved the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. The Ark is the symbol of God's presence and the covenant to the people of Israel. Now, starting with the Church Fathers, the Ark of the Covenant had been considered one of the purest and richest symbols of the reality of the new law, and it signifies, in the first place, the incarnate Word of God. Christ himself, says St. Thomas Aquinas, was signified by the ark. For in the same manner as the ark was made of wood, so also was the body of Christ composed of the most pure human substance. The ark was entirely overlaid with gold because Christ was filled with wisdom and charity, which gold symbolizes. In the ark was a golden vase. This represents Jesus' most holy soul, containing the fullness of sanctity. And in there was manna, which signified the Godhead. There was also Aaron's rod to indicate the sacerdotal work of Jesus Christ as priest forever. Finally, the stone tables of the law were likewise contained in the ark to mean that Jesus Christ is the author of the law. Now, at another time, we can consider this symbolism in quite a bit more detail. It's very rich. We find David living in his house. Remember, he's the king. So he's living in the best house in Jerusalem, the palace, and he's at a time of peace. His enemies are no longer challenging him. I can imagine that as he walks around his new capital, Jerusalem, Zion, he sees he's living in the best house. Then he walks over to the tabernacle and sees the place where they go to worship God as being smaller, less ornate, less permanent than where he is living now. David goes to the prophet Nathan, consults with him, and Nathan gives him the go-ahead to start. But that wasn't God's plan. God reminds Nathan and then David that he's not once asked for a house to be built for him. Not during the Exodus. He never asked Moses or Aaron to build him a house. Never asked Joshua to build him a house. Not during the times of the judges or the prophets that came after Moses. Samson. Never asked Samson to build one. Never asked Samuel to build one. But God promises his people rest. And he promises David a house, not one made with hands. A few verses later, God will promise David that his house will be established forever. And our psalm this morning is a direct reminder of that promise. We hear a retelling of the call of David to be the king, a shepherd who was God's servant. One who God would protect and bring great victories to, but not just a temporary earthly victory. God promises, I will make him my firstborn and higher than the kings of the earth. I will keep my love for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his line forever and his thrones as the days of heaven. What a promise that is to David, a line that will last forever. Now, for me as a kid on a normal Christmas, there was a night that was even more exciting than when the wish book arrived. That was the night my parents went out Christmas shopping. They'd leave us at home with a babysitter, and we'd, you know, do the babysitter thing. And then my parents would be out shopping for what seemed like forever. Then they would return, and we would be banished to our rooms for the night. Why? They were bringing in our presents. Now, we would do our best to sneak a peek of what they were carrying in. This turned into a giant game of Mission Impossible. We would sneak out, they would hear us, and then we'd go running back in. I can remember my dad yelling threats that if we went and saw anything, he was going to return it that night to the store. So we would go sulk in our rooms, trying to use the sounds of the front door opening and closing to give us a sense of how many presents there would be that year. And once the presents were in, our parents' closet became like a bank vault in a heist movie. We would try to go in there and get a peek at things, at the presents, and my mom would closely guard it from our attempts to break in. That's what a normal Christmas for me was like as a child. Now fast forward 1,000 years in our story. A young woman in Nazareth has an angel appear to her. Luke tells us her betrothed was of the house of David. Gabriel starts off, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. I'm sure that the story she'd heard as a child about what happens when an angel appear running through her head. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Now Mary is startled, and they have a dialogue how this can't be happening because she's still a virgin. But at the end, she's willing to follow God wherever she is led. Now, last week, we focused on rejoicing. And the reason why we can rejoice in any circumstance is that we have seen God fulfill his promises in the past. And this promise to David, to Mary, is one of the most important promises we know that has been fulfilled. Listen, in this modern era, we read the story of Mary, and we want to put science in the middle of it. We talk about how this is an impossible situation and how it can't be real. But the truth is, it's a miracle. But when we read it, we are seeing everything God has promised humanity since he told the serpent, "He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." We see it all begin to be realized. Jesus is about to burst onto the scene and change everything. But we're not there yet. Let's spend now a moment considering our New Testament reading. It's a very short passage. It's a doxology from the book of Romans. Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept for long ages and is now disclosed through the prophetic writings, is made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ." I like how the translators put an exclamation point there. Paul's fired up on this point. I think that Paul here, the secret he's referring to and that he wants to give God glory for and that he is now preaching is that God became flesh and dwelt among us. And through him is the forgiveness of sin for the entire world, both Jew and Gentile. God's love is transcendent and for everyone. Now, as we move through the next few days with Christmas in sight, remember that God is faithful. He will do what he promised. Sometimes it takes longer than we would like. 1,000 years in the case of David. From our readings, our first readings of David, of that promise to David to its fulfillment in Jesus. And sometimes it happens in unexpected ways. A virgin in Nazareth of Galilee will give birth. Now, as we go into this joyous week, I know for many of us it's muted due to the circumstances we find ourselves in here in 2020. It's not a normal Christmas like the one I was talking about earlier. We have to hold on to those promises. And we can hold on to those promises because God is faithful. Amen. If you're listening to this podcast this week, know that we'll have a recorded Christmas service that will play at 4 p.m. on our new YouTube and Facebook pages. We're going to have an in-person service at 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve. There's a sign-up genius that will go out on Monday, the 21st. We'll also have morning prayer on Christmas Day. a sign of genius will go out for that as well. God bless you. Have a wonderful and Merry Christmas.